Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Fun podcast coming up. We have three different guests for discussing college football. And a little new format we're going to be introducing here on the Behind the Bets podcast, not just for today, but also on Thursdays with the NFL and also a little UFC, just kind of getting a wider variety of opinions from some of the sharpest minds in Vegas. So really excited for that. And we're probably going to pick up the pace a little bit, but it'll be very succinct, same analysis, same in-depth expertise. But Aaron Renning, who we've heard in the past do some NBA and some NFL, he's going to join us with a couple college plays. Brad Edwards is going to shed some light on three SEC games that he's kind of gone deeper dive into the numbers. Also talk about Bedlam. And then Paul Stone, who we've had in the past, has a couple plays. And speaking of Bedlam, by the way, I really like Oklahoma. They're laying 7 here. I think the number's cheap. I think it'll go up by kickoff. I think the Sooners have really ratcheted up. We'll talk with Brad about that. But just it's just an offense I trust more. So I'll lay the 7. I kind of even want to go in a tease, although it's a high-scoring game, so it's obviously not advised. But I just think they're going to get the win. They're sort of pushing towards this Big 12 title. We've kind of forgotten about them. So I like the Sooners in Norman to take care of business here. And I really like the games these guys are all on. I've been fascinated by this Illinois team. And I know that sounds crazy because they're such a bad team. They got their first win against Rutgers a week ago, and I was actually on Rutgers. But Isaiah Williams, the new Juice Williams for the Illini, might be their best quarterback, just given his a dual threat. He had some 3rd and 12s. He tucked and ran. And design draws. So I'm intrigued by this Illinois team, although Nebraska changed quarterback. So I'm probably going to be on the points there, but we go check that out on ESPN.com's chalk section, all of our college football plays, and then all of our NFL plays as well. So good stuff there. We'll have Murray tomorrow, but let's get to the guys. And before we do, I got to tell you about this podcast because I've really enjoyed what Woj has done here. How does 25-year-old two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo get drafted 15th overall in a weak draft class? Adrian Wojnarowski investigates the twists and turns that led to a franchise and league altering selection in 2013, a three-part series that tells this unique story, including interviews with individuals close to the process, as well as a one-on-one sit-down with Giannis himself. Check out the Woj Pod special, The Giannis Draft, wherever you find your podcasts.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Time now to welcome in an old friend of the program who we've usually had on to discuss NBA and a little bit of NFL, but Aaron Renning's going to talk some college football. As I know he puts in the work, you pulled the all-nighter like you normally do, ER, so appreciate taking the time. We have some Big Ten flavor, but welcome, and welcome on a guy who's about to go to bed this morning.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's funny because during the NBA season, I generally do stay up all night. And work, and I just haven't gotten out of that habit yet, Doug. I think my habits are a little bit worse, but it is what it is. And yeah, I'm ready to go to bed after we do this. Hopefully, pick a couple winners for the podcast first.
Yeah, and you had a winner, I like to say, because the game just got canceled. So that's a waste of work, and that's the annoying part about this season is you try to beat the public to the number and beat the market, and then you put in the work early in the week and it gets canceled as more information services with COVID. But we got two Big Ten picks for us, both totals. Why don't we start with Minnesota and Purdue?
Yeah, I am from Big Ten country. I pay attention. I have a good feel for the conference, Doug, and I'm going to come in with, Purdue, Minnesota over the total. As we saw Minnesota, their first two games against Michigan and Maryland, about the worst defense you could possibly play. What they have, maybe 3 or 4 starters back. I think 4 or 5 guys from last year's team are playing in the NFL from a defensive perspective. And, yeah, Michigan and Maryland averaged almost about 10 yards per play against them. And it's not like Michigan and Maryland, are Alabama or Oklahoma's of this world, Doug. Right. Last week against Iowa, a game that certainly got away from them. Just no scoring in that one. They couldn't do anything. And, the quarterback, Tanner Morgan, who was phenomenal, super efficient last year, has not been good. But I would expect I would expect, you know, the offense to pick up before the defense. They still have, you know, they returned quite a few guys on the offensive line. Bateman came back. He's expected to be a first-round draft choice. So they're going to be better defense, or I'm sorry, offensively before they're going to be defensively. Now, Purdue is kind of interesting here as they started off the year against Iowa. There was actually quite a bit of offense. There was a lot of yards in that game. The total points were 44. Iowa had a couple turnovers in the red zone. And, of course, last week against Northwestern, well, we know Northwestern's pretty much a dead under team no matter what. The one common denominator here is both teams had played Illinois. And, in fact, both teams played Illinois with a four-string quarterback without Illinois' All-American center as well. And, you know, if you watch those games, Illinois was just trying to keep it positively vanilla. They had nothing going in the passing game. So I think that kept those scores down for both Minnesota and Purdue. As I mentioned, Purdue's offense, Minnesota's defense lacking a starter. Actually, last week they lost probably their best returning starter, a cornerback. Rumors were COVID, so that would make him out this week. And boy, that's the last thing. This is a defense that can struggle to begin with. Now, losing perhaps your best defensive player against this Purdue passing game. And again, you know, Minnesota's played Iowa, Illinois, Maryland, Michigan. Purdue's a team with Brohm, you know, certainly more offensive minded with what he can do. So I think we get a ton of points, very little defense. Hopefully we get a cherry on top with Rondell Moore return for this game, but I don't think we need it, Doug.
That would be nice. But yeah, so we're looking at 62.5 or so at the time of this taping, I should say. And yeah, I mean, look, Minnesota still has Ibrahim. Like you said, the offense has got to catch up, but at least they have a reliable back who can rip off some big chunks. A game that you're going to go to the total, and I'm eyeing this Illinois game. As soon as overnight, it's come down a little bit in terms of the side. I couldn't believe the new Juice Williams for the Illini is probably their best quarterback I've seen this year, given all the guys they've had with Peter starting and the COVID surfacing. So the numbers come down a little bit. I still like four, if you can get over 14, I like the Illini. Nebraska has Iowa on deck. They're not very good. And I thought, I mean, he's the best quarterback I've seen so far for the Illini is Juice. So I'm probably going to take the points here, but you're on the over here as well.
Yeah, I'm going to come in with two overs here in Big Ten play. And, you know, I talked about Illinois in that last game, you know, how they were just left with nothing offensively. Obviously, the first game against Wisconsin, didn't do that much offensively. We know Wisconsin is very sturdy, has a really good defensive team known for their defense. Then their next two games, Illinois against Purdue and Minnesota. And, you know, remember it was word came down kind of that Friday that Illinois had some real COVID issues. You know, the starting quarterback, the backup quarterback, and again, as I mentioned, their All-American center. We're all out for those couple of games against Purdue and Minnesota. The Purdue game actually had some wind in there as well. And then finally, as you mentioned, last week, Illinois gets their second-string quarterback, which might be their first string after last week. But Isaiah Williams comes up, runs for, what, almost a couple hundred yards against Rutgers. There was actually quite a few yards. I mean, Illinois piled up 450 yards of offense in that game, only scored 23 points. But this is a team that's still, to me, offensive first. Whether it's going to be Brandon Peters or Williams at the quarterback position, one can throw, one can run. I actually wouldn't be surprised to see both of them play in this game. Really good offensive line for this Illinois team. And, you know, defensively, they're not going to be known. You know, the talent is lacking. You know, go through some of their scores last year. They allowed a ton of points. And Nebraska, on the other hand, you know, finally made the quarterback change themselves last week. I think it's something that is going to stick here with McCafferty. And he's just, you can just see him run the huddle more efficient with what they want to do. Certainly played at a faster pace against Penn State as well. So, you know, Nebraska has played Ohio State, another team that played Northwestern. Penn State, by far, this is going to be the weakest defense that they have played. So, actually, I have the bigger bet on this one. This is my biggest bet of the week here. I got a big bet on this one over the total.
Like hearing that. So, we're at 59.5 right now in the Vegas market. That is good. A little cherry on top. And, you know, I've been talking Wisconsin football for years, man, and you use the word sturdy. That is like spot on. I'm like, how has it taken me, you know, 40 plus years to hear the perfect word for Whiskey's football team? So the sturdy is the word that it's spot on. All right, my man. Well, good chatting as always. And I know you've been burning the midnight oil throughout the night. So appreciate you delaying your bedtime. So sweet dreams, my man. And all right, we'll chat soon. Thanks for the time.
All right.
Talk nerdy to me.
Oh, that is the call for only one man, Brad Edwards, my man from ESPN Analytics and my former co-host of ESPN's College Game Day on ESPN Radio is back with me. Brad, good to have you here. What we've talked about a lot is the SEC. I want to focus on that. You and I have sort of prepared accordingly. And a few weeks ago on this pod, you said that Kentucky might be shut out against Georgia, and they did muster a field goal.
They did.
Well, yeah. Well done on the under team total. But here Georgia's facing Mississippi State between the hedges here. We have a low game total, 44.5. We'll see about the offense getting there. But we're going to be looking at a Bulldogs team total of 10.5. And this offense has certainly come down since the opener against LSU. What do you make of Mississippi State's ability to hang here?
It's the same thing as the Kentucky game, except Mississippi State offensively, I think, is worse than Kentucky was. You're looking at a team that is really coming apart at the seams. There are a lot of guys that are just butting heads with Mike Leach. They, you know, don't want to be there. And a lot of them have already left. But it's a punchless offense going against the best defense in the SEC. I know it's hard for people to grasp that given what Alabama and Florida did to Georgia. But Alabama and Florida are going to do that to every defense in the country. Against a weak, one-dimensional offense, there is no chance against Georgia for Mississippi State. And so I think it's the same thing. I just really do not see how Mississippi State scores unless Georgia gets so far in front on the scoreboard that they pull their starters. That's the only way I can see Mississippi State getting in the end zone. So to me, once again, shutout is very much in play here. Mississippi State was shut out by Alabama, which we know defensively is not close to as good as Georgia.
So looking at team total in the neighborhood of 10.5, I've done just some math on the side in total, but maybe a first half, 6.5 could be an underplay there. We'll seeing how things, maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's like a 4.5 thing. Speaking of Kentucky, they are at Alabama, and you actually like the Wildcats to put up some points here. Why?
Yeah, and look, you know, as I mentioned, Mississippi State, a one-dimensional offense, they can't run the ball, was shut out by Alabama. The last time Alabama took the field, that was quite a while ago. You're looking at another one-dimensional offense in that Kentucky can't throw. I just feel like this is a game that is so difficult to get up for if you're Alabama. First of all, you've had two off weeks in a row, and so there's a chance for rust. What's your motivation against Kentucky? I just don't think Alabama has any reason to be super sharp here. I think Kentucky is solid enough defensively that they'll keep Alabama under 50. That sounds ridiculous, but that's how good this offense is that it takes right. A really good defense to keep them under 50. But I think Kentucky will, unless they start just turning the ball over all over the place. And if they don't score legitimately against Alabama's starters, I think that once Alabama starts to pull people, Kentucky will eventually score. This is something I see this like at 45-21, 45-24 type game. I think Alabama's defense is getting better, but I think the shutout against Mississippi State is a little bit misleading. I think Kentucky they'll get in the end zone a couple of times, and I think that'll be enough to keep them within 30 points.
Yeah. I mean, it's look, these these larger spreads are always tough to kind of handicap. Each one has a flow, so maybe not a first half, but you like the full game, backdoor. Saban's always been a guy who's been a gentleman, so to speak, in fourth quarters, pulls his foot off the gas, like really, really will just bleed clock in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and no animosity at all toward Mark Stoops. And what would be his motivation to run the score up on Kentucky? There's none.
Right, right. And that is part of the handicap, and that's the fascinating part about some of these. I mean, I was on a second half San Jose State UNLV last week, and Arroyo is a former coach, he's a former coordinator, former coach, assistant, and former quarterback at San Jose State. So the Spartans, and the game was in San Jose State, so they're taking their foot off the gas, took a knee inside the five, one of those things. So there's always like backstories to everything. So in here, there is no backstory, which is an important element. Florida at Vanderbilt. Now, you've tried to get me on Vandy a couple of times. One was with good advice. One was they didn't play at all, come to play at all. So this one's a big number, too, 31.5, 68. And the Gators, you like the Gators to score, and the team total here is probably going to be 51.5. Why is Florida going to name it score?
Yeah, this is the you know, if it's not the best offense in the conference, it's the second best to Alabama. And you're talking about one of the top five offenses in the country against arguably the worst defense in the SEC. And there's some good competition for that title this year. but Vanderbilt is just, they're helpless defensively. And, you know, you saw Florida hang 63, I think it was, on Arkansas last week. There's no way Vandy can stop Florida. And by the way, Florida did that without Kyle Pitts last week against Arkansas. You know, and Vandy, they're going to make mistakes offensively. They're going to give you short fields. The only question to me in this game is how many is Vanderbilt going to score against Florida? And so, you know, I think for those who are a little worried about laying a big number against, you know, with the defense that Florida has shown this year, which has been really inconsistent and at times very porous, that's a legitimate concern. But the one thing that I think is a given is that Florida's offense is going to score at will. And to me, it's almost inconceivable that they could be held under 50. So that's the one thing I'm banking on in this game, is that they're going to score a lot.
You got to like them. And by the way, Pitts is just a freaking stud. And before I let you go, I do want to pick your brain about, you know, one of the games of the week. There's some really intriguing games, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. You texted me a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I think on the pod even, you said, like, I think Oklahoma is going to turn the corner, kind of make a run, get things right, so to speak. And they've been doing that, lighting up the scoreboard. This number, I've talked to a few sharp guys, it does feel cheap with the home favorite here. Why do you like the Sooners?
Yeah, look, that, you know, Bedlam, I think, is a little bit of a misleading title. I think it's more true in basketball than it is in football that the series is unpredictable. Mike Gundy's 2-13 against Oklahoma, and a lot of those losses have not been close. I don't think this one will be. It could fool some people because Oklahoma State is ahead in the conference standings. They have a higher ranking in the polls this week. But Oklahoma is clearly the better team. There's a reason that, you know, that they're about a touchdown favorite. I think the way that Oklahoma's offense is playing now after a slow start, the way that Oklahoma State's offense has continued to struggle to find itself, and I don't know why. I don't have a good explanation for why, but all I know is that unlike many recent seasons, there is a huge gap between these offenses. Oklahoma State, for whatever reason, just can't get it together, and I don't see how they're going to hang with Oklahoma. I know Oklahoma State's defense is good, but great offense against great defense, it's pretty well documented this season what's going to happen. Great offense is still going to score a lot, and I just don't think the Cowboys can keep up. So I like Oklahoma, and what is a huge game for the conference title race. So there's every reason to be motivated on top of the rivalry itself. I think the Sooners roll in this one, and I'm not going to be surprised if Oklahoma State somehow finds a way to stay in it for four quarters. But if you're just looking at the way the teams are playing right now, they shouldn't.
I'm with you when you said, I don't know why they haven't figured things out. I don't understand why the Pokes aren't better on offense. They have some pieces. Now, granted, their quarterback was hurt early in the season, so I understand some of those growing pains there. But they should be scoring more, but they're not. And you're right. They cannot hang with four quarters. I like the Sooners. I have a guy who really follows this program closely. He's a pro bettor too. And he texted me Sunday. He's like, Oklahoma looks cheap. And he doesn't just say that every week. You know, he's not this like homer. I think the Sooners roll too. So I'm glad that you're there independently. I was thinking that all week. So glad you're on board there, man. Always good. Yeah. We'll see. We'll talk Saturday afternoon. Always good. Always good catching up. Thank you for taking the time. I know our listeners really, really enjoy your perspective because you put in the work. So thank you as always.
Oh, thanks, man. Happy to join you.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Let's now welcome in a friend of the program, a gentleman who's been on here before, and it's good to welcome him back. Paul Stone with that Southern Texas twang. Good to be back with you, Paul.
Good to be with you guys, and great to have another weekend of college football to look forward to.
Yeah, and, you know, we're taping this on a Wednesday. A couple games have been eliminated throughout the week, but that is, you know, par for the course in 2020. You have a couple games
you want to discuss, and both involve a top 10 ranked team. So that's exciting that you're picking some of the high profile games. Let's start with a battle of undefeateds, Northwestern and Wisconsin. I love this Wildcats team. I've been on them a few times this year, their first three games, and it's been exciting. I'm laying off this one, but you like the Purple Cats here, who obviously have been a beast under Pat Fitzgerald in the underdog role, 54-40-1 ATS.
Absolutely, Doug. I tell you, first of all, I love this Wisconsin program. First of all, I love what Paul Christ has done to this point there in Madison. But I think it's fair to ask just how good are the Badgers? Now, they've only played two games. They made easy work of a subpar Illinois team on October 23rd. And then they had a couple of cancellations. And then 22 days later, this past Saturday, they throttled a Michigan team that might be one of that school's worst additions in many years. But outscoring, you know, two Big Ten opponents by a 94-18 margin certainly can't be discounted. So Wisconsin, it'll be interesting to see as the level of opponent goes up, how they respond to that. In this one, as you said, I do like this Northwestern team. I think the value clearly lies with a team that comes in at 4-0. They're immensely improved, especially on offense. And that's primarily in large part due to the addition of grad transfer quarterback Peyton Ramsey, who comes over from Indiana. He has awakened a unit. They only averaged 12.7 points per game last year in conference play. They've got some offensive firepower now with Ramsey heading the troops there. And as you kind of indicated, to kind of piggyback off what you said regarding Northwestern in the role of the underdog, specifically since the start of the 2017 season, when cast as a betting underdog of 7.5 points or fewer in a Big Ten contest, Northwestern, a money-making 9-1 against the spread. And of those nine covers, the Wildcats actually won eight of those games straight up. Take Pat Fitzgerald on Saturday, take Peyton Ramsey and the Wildcats plus 7.5.
Yeah, and they're at home here in Evanston catching 7.5. Badgers have been impressive. Paul Christ, on the other hand, road favorite. He's 16-4 ATS. But it's hard to fault you for taking Fitzgerald and the points. I mentioned the other game was a top 10 matchup, Cincinnati at UCF. Bearcats are laying 6 on the road. It's going to snap a streak of 29 straight at home for UCF that they're favored. It goes back to 2016, but you're on the total, and it takes a strong stomach to bet an under, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I tell you, you look at this UCF team, and obviously they not only score a lot, but they play very fast. They lead the nation this year in plays per game at 88.9 plays per game, and I'll get to that here in a little bit, but you look at this UCF offense, they scored 38 or more points in every game except the home loss to Tulsa when they scored 26 and a 34-26 loss to Tulsa. But you look at this Cincinnati defense. This is not only one of the best defenses in the American Athletic Conference, but one of the best defenses in the entire nation, only allowing 4 yards per play on the season. You look at a 3-game stretch recently for Cincinnati against SMU, Memphis, and Houston. SMU scored 13 points. Memphis scored 10 points. Houston also scored just 10 points. Those are high-octane units. Cincinnati, 211 plays ran collectively by those three opponents, SMU, Memphis, and Houston. Cincinnati only allowed 4.2 yards per play. So this is a tough Cincinnati defense. Much like in basketball, when you have a fast-paced team such as UCF, averaging a total of 170 plays per game, which has to be the most in the nation by any team as far as total number of plays in their game, 170 plays per game for UCF. Only 140 plays per game for Cincinnati. Much like, again, in college basketball, it's much easier for a slower-paced team to dictate the pace more so than vice versa. So I think this number of plays, which I look at very closely, I think it's going to fall in the high 140s here on Saturday in Orlando. I like the under 63.5. I think Cincinnati is going to keep them to 24 or so points, take the under 63.5 in the Cincy UCF game there Saturday.
Now, I'm just going to play devil's advocate a little bit. Last week, we saw him fake punt up a lot in the fourth and going for style points because that's going to maybe help their chances of getting into the playoff. That's a variable. Now, there was bad blood with ECU from last year, so that was part of the combination of sequence of events. But are you worried about style points leading to maybe an unnecessary points late?
You know, that's a great point. You made a great point on Wisconsin. I'm very well aware of their prowess as an away favorite, and it's not without consideration on that. And you're also spot on. I mean, you've got to think, you know, Cincinnati certainly has to have their sights, however far-fetched it might be. Not that they don't belong, but how far-fetched it might seem to some of us that they'll actually get in the 14 playoff. That certainly is what their goal is. That certainly is what they have their sights on, and they have to get style points. And when you're playing unders, especially in college football, I mean, I've seen games where teams, you know, both had less than 300 yards and more than 70 points is scored because of a special team snafus and things like that. So you have to be concerned about those things. Under players, you know, you live on the edge. You know, like they say, it's never, I might be getting this backwards, but it's never under until it's over or something to that effect. That's kind of how you have to negotiate, navigate these things. But you're exactly right, man. Points can be scored in so many different ways. And certainly the fact that Cincinnati might lay one on at the end that maybe they don't need to, just for good measure and just to have a larger margin of victory, you certainly couldn't fault them for that. So certainly something to consider.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate the insight. It's very helpful. And, you know, it's good to catch up and short and sweet like we've been doing, like we started doing, and hopefully more time to connect in the future.
Hey, I love being on with you guys, and good luck to everybody this weekend.
All right, you too.
Sounds to me like you guys a couple of bookies.
All right, thank you everyone for their contributions. Paul, Brad, and ER, great stuff as always. Again, go check out that Woj pod. It's really interesting stuff. Just amazing backstory of how far Giannis came. And I don't want to give away the details, but there's just one about his medical records that's just fascinating. So go check that out. We'll be back Thursday for the NFL, and we'll also have UFC on Friday. So thanks to everyone, and let's root home some winners this weekend.